This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Sil.
And other than Mitch Marner and Craig Berube having a cup of coffee, there really hasn't been much Leaf news. But the NHL draft and free agency are only a few weeks away, and that's when we should start to get some news, at least, and some answers to the questions surrounding this Leafs team. Of course, the NHL and NBA playoffs are ongoing, and we just want to take time to remind you that BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season, every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played.
When the game's over, head on over to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of over 150 slots games. Head to the website betonline.ag to get in on the action. Don't forget to use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know needs some support or advice, reach out to Connex Ontario or an organization near you. Place your limits and stay within it.
Okay, so starting off, we just want to say congrats to Leaf center David Kampf and Team Czechia, who won the gold medal at the IIHF World Championships. Kampf had 2 goals, 5 assists in 9 games, and scored the empty net goal in the third period to seal the gold medal game victory. That was quite the performance for them, winning on home ice, obviously. And I get how, obviously, European players are passionate about playing in front of their hometown fans. It's just, this is their Stanley Cup, basically, this International Ice Hockey Federation championship. And Kampf also scored a goal and an assist to help Czechia defeat Sweden in the semifinal game. So he actually played a pretty big role. I wish he would do more of that with the Leafs.
He has been had his best offensive performances in seasons with the Leafs in the NHL.
True.
So there is that. He was amazing in the faceoff circle again for Czechia. And he probably got more ice time with that team than he's going to get with the Leafs.
For sure.
So there is that.
Yeah, and he was playing higher up the lineup, I think, too.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
And another player that actually I just read about that had a good tournament was Pontus Holmberg with Team Sweden. Mm-hmm. He had 6 assists and played on their second line. And I think they said that he really, he was strong in his back checking and just his commitment to defense. And that really, really showed. So, that was good to hear too. So a couple of Leafs having good tournaments. Unfortunately, John Tavares is not so good, but whatever.
Well, he scored some big goals for Team Canada though. Yeah. So no slouch, and also is his usual great self in the faceoff circle.
Individually, he had the good.
But unfortunately, a little bit too much of the same thing that we're used to with the the Leafs' demise and some of the same quotes as well, which was not so fun to hear about lessons needing to be learned and such.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard the word lessons. I didn't hear the one that was really interesting. We're right there. Remember when you said a lot of them say we're right there. Mm-hmm. It's like, where? Exactly. Yeah. But anyhow, yeah.
Anyway, I think it was good for him to be over there. Obviously, he wants to keep up his physical fitness level, probably why he went there. And as far as any of our other Leafs prospects that are any of the teams that had success, that's good for us as well, because it's good to be on teams that win. So so good for David Camp for having that experience.
Good to have the positivity at the end of a season. Yeah.
And we also want to say congratulations to Team Minnesota on winning the PWHL championship, beating Boston 3-0 in the fifth and deciding game of the series. I just think that's just so interesting that they were picked by Team Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, they singled them out and then they go all the way. So, you know what? It's hockey. Doesn't matter what league it is.
Yeah.
Anybody can win when it comes down to it and you're in the playoffs. So good for them.
That was crazy.
You know, I guess some similar Toronto bad luck for Team Toronto with Natalie Spooner getting injured. So again, we got that little bit of an excuse, like what would have happened, you know, if she didn't get hurt, but
Well, she's only one player, right? So
true.
Yeah. Yeah. Although she was having a fantastic playoff, but the thing that I was watching, I guess the fourth game of the series between Minnesota and Boston, and that overtime goal that got overturned. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it was like insane. Like to see the, I guess this Minnesota players, they were all like screaming and throwing their gloves and everything. And then it's like being reviewed, right? It was goaltender interference. Like definitely you could see that, but then I thought to myself, I wonder if this is gonna, like how it's going to go. Cause Boston ended up winning that game to take it to a fifth game. And then I thought, you know what? I'm thinking, probably Minnesota's going to go into Boston and win it just because of that goal being taken away from them. It's going to galvanize them to want to win the whole thing. And then just the thing, like their Stanley Cup, the Walter Cup, and seeing the women, I think it was their captain, Kendall Coyne Schofield, like lift it up on there and take it around the ice. It was cool. It was a cool moment for them. I was happy for them to get that.
We're going to get to see more of it for years to come. And it's hopefully that team is going to even, you know, that league's going to grow even more. And they're going to be, you know, selling out. Obviously, they've shown this year that they can sell out big venues. So it's going to be interesting to see what changes come in for next season even.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I'm looking forward to finding out what their logos and their team nicknames are going to be.
Yeah, that's when we might be starting to buy some merchandise. Right? We haven't bought any merchandise yet. We haven't even got to a game. We got to get to a game too.
Yeah.
But they were all sold out by the time we figured things out.
All right, so now it's time to get on with the show, and we're going to start off with a Leaf Talk segment where we will give our thoughts on a couple of Leaf-related articles that caught our attention. And then for the third period segment, we welcome Toronto Sun columnist and author Lance Hornby to get his thoughts on the Leafs and what could happen leading up to the draft and free agency. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Okay, so it's about a month since the Leafs exited the Stanley Cup playoffs, although it seems like a lot longer than that, but it's a month almost. But as always, there's a lot of Leaf content because there are just a lot of questions about this team as we get closer to the draft and free agency. So the one article that caught my eye was by James Tanner from the blog Editor in Leaf. And basically the gist of this article was that the Leafs haven't given enough opportunity to their players in the organization, the younger players, to succeed with the big club. And instead, over the past several seasons, they've brought in veteran players from outside the organization to fill in their roster. And yeah, I can see, I mean, it lists like 23 players. I'm not going to mention them all, obviously, but a few of them, like like he said in this article, Marlo, Thornton, Aston Reese, Nick Ritchie, Colin Blackwell, let's just say. Are these guys so much better than, let's just say, Roni Hirvonen, Bobby McMahon, because Bobby McMahon just came up this year, Mikko Kokkonen, or Alex Steeves? Alex Steeves has had a cup of coffee once, mm-hmm. I don't know how many games he played, but it's not enough. Like, those names compared to the previous names, like, I just think if you actually gave these kids an opportunity, you never know, you might find that gem, as he mentioned in the article.
Well, and right? other teams do, you know yes. what I mean? Like,
rather than keeping them down in the Marlies and mm-hmm. and letting them percolate down there, and they're learning, and like, they need to have that AHL experience, because a few of them are from Europe, obviously, Hirvonen and Kokkonen and like Topi Niemelä. We don't even know what in the world that guy is like, and he was supposed to be such a like a fantastic prospect, right? Like mm-hmm. for us, and he hasn't even gotten one game yet in the NHL.
Yeah, so. Like at some point, you know, a player is only going to get so much better being down there. You know, they need to be yeah. challenged in a different way. They need to kind of be up there with the big club to kind of see, you know, how it works, like what being a pro at that level means. You know, it's very different.
Yeah.
You know, even ways, just the way you're treated and you know, taking yeah. the flights everywhere and the nutrition and all of that. And the schedule is different too, you know, like,
totally,
the, like
yeah.
they play a lot of their games in series because they take the bus and, you know, yeah. then they're playing, you know, I don't know how many games in a row yeah. as opposed to, you know, the days on and off, on and off. So there's a lot of differences and, you know, I agree with somewhat with that article that, you know, at some point, you're going to have to give these guys more than a game here and there opportunity
yeah. Yeah.
to play.
Yeah. And I think that's where possibly, I don't know, things will change with like GM Brad Treliving. Like, he's going to look at what's on the Marlies
mm-hmm.
because you need these two when it comes to the salary cap too, right? These
For
players.
Sure. Like, that's yeah. where you get your cheap talent from, you know? Yeah. And the yeah. thing is, those guys are young as well. And hungry. Mm. They're not free agents that are on like the coming into the tail end of their career.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. they can get better, as opposed to those players, you're expecting them gradually to get worse. So yeah, I think that there's a lot more upside in that regard as well. And yeah. and definitely we need as much savings as possible. And with the forwards that we have there, if we can utilize some of those players, I think the article was talking about, you know, then you have the ability to maybe spend a little bit more on bolstering your defense, you know,
yeah.
because that's one thing we don't have down there.
That's true.
Is
yeah.
is a lot of good defensive prospects potentially, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. And Pontus Holmberg is another one that, like, he just had his first season,
mm-hmm.
like this season. So, like, with the Leafs. So, why couldn't he have come up last season, like mm-hmm. instead of,
and stuck a little longer, yeah,
yeah, instead
because
of,
because he's had a cup of coffee like a couple yeah. times,
yeah,
but
instead of like
Colin really
Blackwell,
stuck.
Let's just say, because yeah. I think Blackwell was last season, or Aston Reese was here last season. I mm-hmm. know that definitely. Zach Aston Reese, like, is he that much better when you look at it? I don't think so. mm-hmm. Like, to say what exactly for, I mean, you don't obviously. They're fourth line players. They're not getting a lot of ice time, those players. Mm-hmm. But then you never know if they prove themselves. They would get more ice time. So it'll be interesting to see how Craig Berube handles
yeah,
things that
I,
way.
I assume that he's going to be making his own evaluation and seeing yeah. if some of the guys that are down there have, you know, some of the skill set and characteristics and qualities that he would more be looking for. So, yeah. So we'll see. So the article that I chose appeared in the Hockey Writers newsletter this past Saturday. With the annual disappearance of the Leafs power play, particularly when it counts in the playoffs. This story, written by Peter Baroncini, caught my attention as he discussed the potential hiring of Mark Savard as assistant with the Leafs, because he has that history with Craig Berube from St. Louis. And he was talking about how Savard's approach to the power play might be a good fit with the skills of our roster. So, one of the things that the article talked about is that, you know, his Savard's philosophy is very much about letting your skilled guys sort of have a little bit more free rein and use their creativity. And with that, then you have the potential for, you know, not being as predictable. And we definitely have those types of guys that, you know, like if you just look at Willie and Mitch Marner, if he's potentially still here, you know, Austin, these guys can make things happen in a creative way. So that philosophy, I think, definitely will work well with the types of players that we have. And the other thing that really stood out to me is his record for coaching. 2019-2020, he was with St. Louis, and the power play was third overall in the league. Then he coached in Windsor for 2 years, and it was third and second overall in those two seasons. Last year with the Calgary Flames, not so great, 26th overall, but then you could argue that maybe he didn't have the personnel that really meshed with his philosophy potentially. So, you know, 3 out of 4 is not bad finishing at the top of the leagues that you're in. So, anyway, those are the things that kind of stood out to me.
Yeah. When you're mentioning like his record, I guess last season with Calgary, it actually, what impressed me was because at first I was thinking, I don't know. I was reading a lot of articles on him and I'm thinking, Berube's just going to bring in his crew from St. Louis and what we're going to become the St. Louis Blues reincarnation sort of thing. Right. But he actually, it started off bad, but then after February 1st, Calgary's power play was at 24%, good for 12th in the league.
Throughout the season, which I guess, you know, in a way that can kind of make sense because that's his first year with the club. Yeah. So, you know, finally getting that message home, maybe took a little bit of time. But anyway, that's kind of what you want to see, it getting better and better. And I mean, if he were to come to Toronto, because obviously that still remains to be seen. You know, it's just like every coach that's mentioned as leaving their club, you know, mutually parting ways or whatever, is touted to be coming to Toronto. But anyway, if he were to come, it might be a little bit of a breath of fresh air that way. Yeah.
And I just hope that they, like the way you were mentioning too, like give the players the opportunity to show their skill over having the set plays. That was also in the article, right?
Like, I mean, obviously you're going to have some, but I think these guys need to be given, you know, a bit free rein to improvise in those moments.
That's the predictability part of it, right? Like you're not going to be predictable. Yeah. You can have those set plays once in a blue moon or once in a while and just get rid of that drop pass a lot, basically. If they could drop pass in the neutral zone to get the player, I don't know.
Interestingly, like at the beginning of the season, they weren't doing that as much.
No,
but it
I
just
know.
Seems like that becomes their comfort zone and they fall back into that when they're struggling. So anyway, hopefully we'll see less and less of that stupid drop back pass. And it's just, it wouldn't be so bad if they dropped it back and then tore up the ice, but they don't seem to do that. So
But anyways, our listeners, you can check out our show notes where you'll find links to these articles and others that we highlight as part of our show. But the Stanley Cup playoffs are still going on. So we just want to talk a little bit about that. The Florida Panthers have punched their ticket to the finals and they wait for the winner of the Western Conference final between the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars. So are you happy Florida got through to the... Did you like their Prince of Wales where they were like not touching it? They weren't like going near the trophy?
It's a 50-50 thing. They touched it last year, didn't work out. So don't touch it this year. I love that that little, you know, when they moved to Maurice on the bench and he said, don't touch it. I love that guy, actually. Yeah. I'm super happy for him because... Yeah. I loved him when he was a Leafs coach too.
Yes, I was just going to say that you loved him as a Leafs coach. That was one of your favorite
coaches. I'm a big Paul Maurice fan. So, you know, obviously he's super comfortable there. Like, I don't think I've ever seen him as comfortable in his skin as he has been in Florida. So that mojo's working for him there. Am I happy that they're going to be getting a second crack at it? No, but is it deserved? Kind of, yeah, because they've been a machine. And yeah. I don't know, like it's a similar recipe to how Vegas did it. And I kind of feel like it's the same story for the, any teams that aren't getting over the hump. Their, you know, star players are kind of being neutralized. And it seems like the teams that really play that complete team concept where everybody has the same responsibilities and there are no, you know, cores singled out that are expected to do it all. Those are the teams that are playing that effective playoff hockey, and Florida is definitely got that recipe. So,
oh, for sure. Yeah. And
because like, I mean, look at in New York, like Panarin disappeared. Like I was looking at the New York Rangers fans tweets yesterday. And the criticisms of him, like you could have just, you know, replaced Mitch Marner with Panarin and it is the same tweet, you know?
Yeah.
Zero points this year, 1 point last year, you know, like no goals. Like, so,
I
don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Shesterkin played fabulous.
Oh, like, my God.
Like there was no way that
they
he could
would have been gone in four if it wasn't for him. Like,
Yeah.
I feel sorry for him because I really like him as a player too.
Yeah.
Seeing him a little bit behind the scenes when we went to the All-Star game, you know, it kind of gives you a little bit of different perspective on some of these guys. And it was sad for him because he worked his butt off.
Yeah. And one thing I was trying to find it while you were talking there on X, I saw just about an hour or so ago, there was somebody that tweeted out or posted this thing saying, would you want, it was ridiculous, would you want Austin Matthews or Sam Bennett on your team? And I'm like, oh my God, what a comparison. I it didn't even deserve a reply, so I didn't reply, but I was just like,
well,
are you
the truth of the matter is I would like to have both. But
true,
I don't want to give up Austin for that. What I want is for the right guy to come along to make these guys play a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
To be able to get through these things and not be taken off their game. But we are seeing, though, that they are not the only ones that it happens to.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody
for sure,
who doesn't win, who doesn't make it to the final dance, it happens to them too.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, we're recording this on Sunday, just before Edmonton-Dallas. We'll see, I guess, if this is a complete trend for everyone, because truly, if skill still matters, then Edmonton should win.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And going to that series, just moving.
But then again, you know, Draisaitl.
Yeah.
That guy is a killer.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like the machine of the Oilers. And, one thing I did think of too, there's like obviously Zach Hyman and Connor Brown. Connor Brown has really played well in this series. Mm-hmm. Like he's
elevated his game for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I still question just because Stuart Skinner is not out of the four goalies that were in this final four teams, like he's the bottom of that. And
but you know what? He has shown up though in big moments when it's counted and kept his team in some of those games that they weren't playing that great. So I don't know. It's
the only thing I don't like there too is Corey Perry coming in into the series.
Well, like my husband says though, if he plays tonight, he has a history of not making it all the way. Like even if they make it, they probably won't win if he plays because he tends to get there, but not win the big prize. So
yeah. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. There's also the Memorial Cup, which is today. So we'll see what happens there with Easton Cowan and the London Knights playing the Saginaw Spirit. So, yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There.
Our next show is June 19th, and with the way the Stanley Cup Finals schedule is set up, we most likely will get a chance to give our thoughts on it then. But right now, we have a great guest for our third period segment. Toronto Sun columnist Lance Hornby joins us to talk about everything Leafs.
Okay, so for our third period segment, we are welcoming to the show Lance Hornby from the Toronto Sun newspaper. Lance has covered the Leafs and the NHL as a reporter for over 40 years with the Sun.
Lance is also an author of a number of books on the Maple Leafs, where he gives readers an inside look into the historical franchise. He also follows the team every day, whether they're home or away, and we want to welcome Lance to our show once again. So thanks for coming on with us again, Lance.
Oh, thanks a lot, ladies. You've done great things with this podcast, and I hear great feedback from my media colleagues and also through listeners. It's congratulations on I guess it's been 2 or 3 years now you've been at this and doing quite well.
Yeah, it's actually five.
Five, okay.
Yeah, so it's 5 years.
I don't count the COVID years. That's not a...
Oh, that's true. That's maybe like we shouldn't count those either.
Yeah, I count those like a lockout.
Well, thank you very much for the feedback. Sure. We really appreciate it. Yeah. And you basically helped us get our start by writing about us. So we really appreciate that so much.
Oh, I'm glad I could do my part. You guys took the ball and ran with it. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have that article on our everywhere across our social media as a link. So
our
listeners can always go back and see that. So yeah, let's get into it. Starting with the hiring of Craig Berube. Do you think he is the right coach to finally get this Leafs team to go deep in the playoffs, at least past round two? Or maybe never mind round one. We can't get past round one.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that, so many people wanted Sheldon Keefe out of there, and now that he's gone, everyone says, okay, well, now what do you do? I mean, certainly you want a coach in there who can do better at playoff time. It's a long way to playoffs, though. It's an 82-game season, and if there's one thing Sheldon Keefe was good at, it was getting this team to play cohesive hockey most of the regular season, getting 100 points, which he did 3 times in a row, and of course, unfortunately, hitting the wall at playoff time. We shouldn't say that they were outclassed at playoff time, just had great difficulty pushing themselves over that hump, especially in deciding games, whatever, they're 0-4 or 0-5 under him, and going back to Mike Babcock too, of course. So it's, having Berube there will be interesting because he'll be a guy who believes in connections. That was a word that came up 5 or 10 times during his introductory press conference. Here's a guy who wants to have a good rapport with players, and hopefully that will be enough that come playoff time, they will understand his philosophy, and that so a big role change, we'll throw it out there, such as a Marner or something, if he's still here, but I'm sure we'll deal with that later. But having a skilled player take a third line role. If you talk to anybody from St. Louis, and I had a great chat with Kelly Chase, the former Maple Leaf and lifelong St. Louis Blue, he was very adamant that Berube was able to get through to a player like Alex Steen, Tyler Bozak, whom Leaf fans are familiar with, getting them midway through the year to buy in and say, okay, you will have a less glamorous role. You'll be on what would equate to a third or fourth line. But this will lead to team success, and you have to accept that role. And Chase said, I know Toronto. That's going to cause a big kerfuffle, as would it be if suddenly you see Nylander or somebody else of note show up on the fourth line. But he says it only has to happen once or twice. Players will adjust. It'll probably create a big stir at the time. But by playoff time, when he makes those moves and those switches are required by whatever, depending on which opponent they face, depending on injuries, that kind of thing, they'll be familiar in that role and there won't be any blowback. So that's what he's trying to build during the year, that kind of connection with the player. So they know what's going on, that kind of thing. Now, the Maple Leafs as currently constituted are not the St. Louis Blues, of course, of 2019 that Berube led to the Cup. They're not as heavy a team. Certainly, they're more skilled. It'll be interesting to see how Craig is able to get some of those guys to buy into that hockey. But you know what? Even Marner and Matthews are pretty good defensive players. Matthews up for the Selke. Marner, you know, high up and block shots, that kind of thing. So I think the talent's there. And you certainly saw William Nylander make the adjustments he had to play. And, you know, you've already got the makings of a heavy defense on the Leafs. So you throw in some goaltending, which is also important. And that's what helped St. Louis win the Cup in 2019. And maybe you have all the ingredients there.
Well, actually, just listening to you describe what Kelly Chase said, like the former coach that we've had in the past that comes to mind is Pat Burns.
Yes.
You know, do you think that he's like a similar kind of mold there?
That's an interesting comparison. But a little later, I mean, you know, Pat Burns was great at the time, had the perfect, you know, all of the Cliff Fletcher was pushing the right buttons. Burns pushed the right buttons behind the bench. And that was certainly a great time. And then, you know, you've seen different incarnations come and go, tough coaches, not tough coaches. I guess the interesting thing would be, remember, Mike Babcock was supposed to be the guy who was going to no-nonsense come in, you know, crack the whip, and these, you know, this thing would turn around based on his experience. And of course, we all know that sort of went south, and maybe he wasn't the best guy to play with a younger group of players. And what happened? Everyone was very happy to see him go. You know, the whole thing was let these kids, take the reins off, let Matthews, Marner, Nylander, let them run free, and they're, you know, they'll score a whole bunch, everybody will be happy, and the Leafs will win the Cup. Well, what happened was, unfortunately, they took a, you know, took a different turn. It turns out that they've not developed both in toughness and maybe on ice maturity. Maybe you see that a little bit come playoff time. Interesting to see for Nylander, for example, in the full circle he's made from the guy who was allegedly the perimeter player who wasn't going to help anybody to turn around to become a very, you know, a very strong playoff performer. But, you know, it didn't quite work. And then suddenly everyone's talking about Sheldon Keefe saying, well, it's not hard enough. We need a tough coach who's going to show these guys like Marner and all that what to do. So here we've come full circle from Mike Babcock back to that kind of coach. And, you know, those kind of coaches have a limited shelf life, I think. The Yellers and the Barkers. I mean, if you get them going, you know, if you hit, you know, them at their peak and they have the right team, 2 or 3 years before the message starts getting tuned out. So Sheldon Keefe was able to last 4 years, special circumstance. Of course, he came in with Kyle Dubas and that sort of thing. But it'll be interesting to see now with Berube there, and he is Brad Treliving's guy. So, you know, the next couple of years will be very important. And obviously, one of the big questions is he going to be able to coexist with a player like Marner?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll still stay on the coaching front because there is a lot of talk about various assistant coaching departures from clubs around the league. And of course, everyone is then linked to the Leafs. There haven't been any announcements as to, you know, which coaches on the current staff are going to be let go. So what are you hearing and how do you expect Berube to round out his staff?
Well, first of all, let me say I'm very grateful the Leafs didn't pull one of their specials of announcing something at 4:59 on a Friday. That was a fair, like they did with his hiring, like they do with other things. We're hoping for a difference in, excuse me, in Brad Treliving, but he's followed the time-honored tradition of announcing things at the end of the day after everybody has left the arena. So anyway, nothing happened on that front this week. The buzz was Mark Savard being let go, first of all, in Calgary, who has ties to Berube, and that was you know, that has not happened yet. And then Mike Yeo, who has the roundabout connection to Berube as being the coach who was fired in St. Louis when Berube was assistant, and then got Berube getting promoted and then winning the Cup in that same season. So there is a tie there. Mike Yeo is from Scarborough as well, and so a lot of people are connecting the dots there. But a lot of people think he's going to take the job in Ottawa with Travis Green as the new head coach there. So nothing announced there. I think there's I'm guessing they've gone through their preliminary interviews with the current staff. That would be, of course, Guy Boucher and Dean Chanuth. And Mike Van Ryan, who's probably going to stay based on his connection to Berube on that 2019 Cup team. So pencil him in to stay. Maybe Guy Boucher, who took all the flack for the misfiring power play, will stay. He's still a very good coach, but maybe he has that duty removed. Maybe that goes to Savard or Yeo, who have some experience in that in those departments.
Yeah, so do you think, like, the fact it's always the connection with the coach going back to his former, like bringing in his former staff, sort of like, I don't know. I'm not liking that kind of, it's like, we're not the reincarnation of the St. Louis Blues. Like the team is totally different. Right. And by bringing in the assistants, like, I know the head coach knows those guys, like Berube knows them, but wouldn't it be better to just find somebody who's the best
Yeah, but there's a comfort level for the coach too, and sometimes I'm not saying this it's as 100%, but Berube might take the job and say, okay, I'll take this job if this, that, or other coach can, you know, come with me, and that kind of thing. And sometimes the coaches want to move on, like Manny Malhotra did, going back to to Vancouver, which is where he has some ties and that kind of thing. And, you know, Spencer Carberry, who was there before, who did a very good job at the power play. Obviously, he was head coaching Timber, and Washington scooped him up. So interesting to see. Maybe the Leafs are also waiting to see. I can't say I'm familiar with this, but somebody with the four surviving teams at the end of the year may decide that they're moving on somewhere. And, you know, maybe they weren't even on the radar, and now suddenly they're doing a lot of special teams work or something that has caught the Leafs' eye, and they will ask permission to talk to those guys at the end of the playoffs.
Yeah, because I heard Mark Savard, too. They said that Calgary's power play wasn't that good last season. So it's like, why would you get somebody that, I mean, we're already complaining.
Yeah, Calgary's power play doesn't have Matthews and Marner and Nylander. Right. And now,
The
flip side is, you know, Guy Boucher had all that and for whatever reason couldn't make it work when it counted. And I think it was at one point obviously doing very well during the season. So that is a big mystery why the Leafs don't do better there. And, not having the big bomber from the point with a hard shot has always been their weak spot in the certainly through the Mike Babcock and Sheldon Keefe years. And, you know, other things may shake out that they may get somebody like that who can really bring it.
All right, so let's move on to a little bit of the players. We're going to say, other than the future of Mitch Marner and John Tavares contract talks, what do you think is the biggest area that GM Brad Treliving needs to address this summer? The biggest area?
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, there's major holes in three areas. They've got in the top six, you have the potential to lose both Domi and Bertuzzi. I'm sure Domi wants to stay. And then you go down a little further to the defense, and a bunch of those guys are free agents. Just going off my list here, which I covered up with something else I can't see right now. But I mean, that's Lubushkin, Edmondson. Those guys are, he's got to convince those guys to come back. I think you're going to see the end of Giordano. He's going to make a graceful exit. And I think the time has come to move on from TJ Brody. As much as he's helped the team, he didn't look comfortable all year long. And there might be a change there. And then you go down to the goaltender. You only have one signed goaltender right now in Joseph Woll. And, Samsonov loves the city, would love to come back, but they're going to have to reach some kind of whatever hometown discount or whatever the term is, because I think as much as he wants to play more and be, I like him. I think when he's on, I think that was one of the most dramatic comebacks I've ever seen from a Leaf goalie who everybody wanted out of town. And then he goes on a stretch of whatever it was, 24-6-1 or 2 or something like that. So I'd like to have him back, but he thinks he's earned a raise, and there's going to be some pushback there. There's rumblings that Martin Jones is okay to come back as the third guy, even though he's not going to be playing much. I'm sure he likes it in Toronto, so it'd be interesting to have that wrapped up. And you don't know what, Dennis Hildeby is still, I think, needs some work down there. Just being tall is not enough. I think but he certainly did well for the Marlies. And depending on what his workload is over the summer in terms of training and working with Curtis Sanford, the goalie coach, if he's coming back, I think, and the Marlies goalie coaches as well, I think there's going to be a very good chance that he makes some noise at camp as well. And, you know, as a, I can't see the Leafs holding him as a backup or a third guy and not using him. He's better suited to play regularly on the farm if he's not going to play in Toronto. But just saying that gives him, you know, an interesting – who heard of Felix Potvin, for example, in 1992-93? He got off to a great start, and suddenly he took the reins, and the Leafs were able to trade Grant Fuhr. And I guess the wild card in all this is Matt Murray, who is, you know, who's worked his way back when everybody thought he would never play again. He got in a couple of games at the end with the Marlies. He's still, I think, just crowding 30 years old. He's still useful. There would have to be some huge discount going on there with a new contract. But, you know, I think
– I guess that would be desperate, desperate times, I think.
And you know what? He's going to – he desperate – you know, he might be desperate himself. There's not many people who are going to take a look at him. And I think because the Leafs spent all year, all their resources, getting him ready to play at the end, he may – you know, he may try and repay the club, for lack of a better word, to be that Martin Jones guy, if indeed Jones isn't brought back.
Right. Yeah. So basically, everywhere the team needs help because.
I mean, the big thing is, you know, if they can bring back Domi and Bertuzzi at a good price, that's. I mean, they still have cap constraints and everything. This is the big cap year too. I mean, it's if they're forced to pay Marner. It's the last year of Tavares's big deal. You know, it's if they can get by this year and the cap goes up, I think they're in much better shape beyond. But, you know, it's easier said than done. Brandon Pridham has his work cut out for him if indeed the Leafs are trying to bring back at least one of Domi or Bertuzzi, fix up the defense, get a decent goaltender. It's going to take some juggling, and that juggling may turn out to be you know, the money that they were going to spend on Marner. And again, leads us to that whole question of whether he goes away or tries to come back.
What do you think of the idea though of like punting on the year, I guess, like to like, you think they would do that? Like for Nick, not to drop out totally, but because they have this salary issue with Mitch Marner and John Tavares, like if they just kind of let it go to the end and, kind of see what happens.
Well, you know,
and then start off at like, and then if Marner goes away or John Tavares
next year, it's interesting. It'd be a very, you know, in many ways their hands are tied. They may have to do that because they don't have any, but you know what? I think all teams like certainty, and they would like to know the number of, the dollar figure that they're going to work with. I would, you know, I'm a proponent of having Marner come back. I think there's a piece of him, the same way he's sort of petulant. If you see him in interviews all the time, and he, you know, he kind of nitpicks and he doesn't like being criticized and all that kind of thing. And sometimes he's not, you know, he's got a little bit of, you know, a little bit of the brat in him, for lack of a better word. I can see him channeling that attitude to next year and saying, I'll show you guys, I'll adapt. I'll be, you know, I love this town. My Marner Foundation is here. I'm going to show you guys that I can be a team player. Now, that would have to come, obviously, you know, that's bracketed by whatever is going on with his new contract, which the Leafs can freely discuss beyond July 1st with a new deal and that sort of thing. And, you know, talk extension and all that. I don't think the Leafs are willing to go too far into that without knowing if he's going to waive his no trade or not. But I can see Marner being part of it, playing ball. You know, lots of people, you know, Toronto being the kind of place where there seems to be a scapegoat during, you know, during the summer at the end of the year. And, you know, it's switched off from Nylander, sometimes Matthews, sometimes it's the goaltending. It seems to be Marner's going to be the target. Everybody figures he's not going to come back, but I can see him, you know, saying, I'll show you guys, I'll do, you know, I'll, I'll make, you know, I'll make my presence known. And then he'll, you know, but that's
like, it's like I said to, our insider, Mike Agello, Mike in Buffalo.
Yep.
He's going to have it come back. He won't sign the contract. He'll have the great year next year and we'll go right to the Stanley Cup finals. Like it'll just, he'll just drive our whole team, Mitch Marner.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah.
I know. You never know.
Stranger things have happened, but, you know, I just, at least I would want some cost certainty. They want to know, you know, because I could, you know, if I'm putting myself in Brad Treliving's shoes, you know, I'd like to know, is he going, you're staying? And now I have whatever he's, Marner makes about 10.9, I think, you know, geez, I'd love to spend that on a point defenseman or a, you know, fixing myself up in goal, or, you know, channel that money towards Bertuzzi or Domi. So I think they want an answer from Marner one way or the other. Interesting, of course, that the story's coming out about Marner and Berube talking. So at least there's something there. And, you know, I think Berube's probably had less talented players who are able to adapt. I think, you know, knowing that Marner can kill penalties and he's clearly not afraid to block shots, if he can get inside his head and, you know, settle things down, then, you know, I think things can be settled. Marner holds all the cards, though, as much as people might want him out of town. If he doesn't move off his no trade, then they have to stay with him stuck with him, for lack of a better word.
Well, you just brought it up. So another person who once held all the cards is Matt Sundin. So, right. You know, we're wondering knowing what happened with that, which could be the uglier storyline and between the two of them, like when it all shakes out in the end.
Well, you know what? It was very sad, the way, you know, as somebody who covered Sundin from the moment he came to the moment he left, it was very sad that he didn't retire a Leaf. He, you know, he wound up in the same boat as Keon, Sittler, all those other great Leaf captains and high-scoring captains, and didn't retire as Leafs, Wendell Clark being the exception. He did come back and retire as a Leaf. So I'd hate to see that happen, but I, you know, Marner is... right now, Marner's stock among, you know, among the fans and among the team, I don't know. I mean, I think that it was unfortunate the cameras caught that moment of him arguing with Nylander on the bench and that kind of thing. And it's that stuff that probably wasn't big, you know, years ago before there was a camera on the bench all the time. But, you know, losing him is not as big as losing a Sundin. You wanted him to retire a Leaf. And of course, he was a franchise leading scorer. Marner, obviously, 100-point winger, the potential to be that at least. It would be a shock to lose him because he is one of the pillars of the core four. And, you know, a drafted player, a Toronto drafted player too, that they want to, you know, he probably sees himself staying. Probably, you know, before this year and all the trouble at the end, he probably wanted to remain a Leaf, sign one more big contract and see that out. It's going to be interesting to see if, you know, he decides that he could go somewhere and maybe be the star. We ran a story earlier this week on possible destinations. You know, he could go, you know, he could go to Chicago and play with Bedard and do quite well. He could wind up in Pittsburgh with Dubas. There's a lot of good landing spots. People would be able to accommodate Mitch Marner and have him be Mitch Marner as he is now without, you know, without this, what apparently is going to be butting heads with Craig Berube in the, you know, through training camp next year, that everybody's progressing. But to your earlier point, this isn't as bad as Sundin. If it happens, it happens. And people right now want to see, you know, they want to see a good return, I think, for Marner if he's not going to stay. And it would be interesting to see if he doesn't go. You know, everyone was mad at Matt Sundin and the Muskoka 4 or 5, if you remember,
yeah,
those days, and they wouldn't waive their no trades and became very unpopular. It would be interesting to see the whole everything come full circle of Marner being so well loved in Toronto and suddenly cast as the villain in all this. It that would be an interesting scenario come next autumn.
Well, Lance, we thank you so much for taking time out of your Saturday to come on with us again. We very much appreciate it. And we hope that you enjoy your travels, because you're doing some travel work with the Sun now too, aren't you?
Yes. Big feature today on our trip to San Diego in today's paper, and it'll be online pretty soon. And watch for more of those. That's the one unfortunate thing about covering the Leafs, is that you suddenly find yourself with after the first round with extra time. Also, I'm very grateful that the Sun allows me to do some travel pieces in the summer.
Oh, that's awesome. So we will definitely check that out.
Yeah, so I do look forward to doing that, doing a long Stanley Cup run at some times and having you guys along with me for sure.
Yes,
yeah.
Hopefully that will be as soon as next season.
Yes, so definitely.
Everyone, keep up to date with the Leafs and buy a copy of the Toronto Sun. You can also get Lance's articles directly to your mailbox by visiting torontosun.com. And don't forget to follow him, Lance, on X. He is at Sun Hornby. Thanks again, and we will talk to you again, hopefully within the year.
Thanks a lot, ladies.
Thanks, Lance. Okay, so thanks again to Lance for coming on the show. From his comments on Marner, I got a small hint that Mitch might be a Leaf still starting next season. I don't know if you feel the same, but what did you take from his comments about Matt Sundin's contract situation and Marner's upcoming contract status with
the thing that struck me with that is how different the different generation of Leaf fan views that. For us, being a little bit older, the kids that are kind of watching this team now, that may be in that 20 to 35 range. They were really young when that happened. And I think a lot of them still view Matt Sundin as their hero and don't carry the same kind of bitterness that we feel, when he didn't waive his no move and, allowed us to get better as a team, knowing that he's probably, going to be leaving or whatever eventually.
And I kind of wonder how those
people will feel if, like you just said, Mitch Marner could stay here, and if he doesn't, agree to, waive his no move, then we end up not getting him, and maybe he walks at the end of next year or something like that, or he stays and we still don't get anywhere. How is he going to be viewed by these this generation's fan, who were young at the time when Matt Sundin it wasn't exactly the same type of scenario, but everybody wanted Sundin to retire as a Leaf.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's all about making the team better. And
that's the main difference here too, is the fact that they're at different points in their careers, right?
Like 100%. Yeah.
Matt's was going to be ending his career, or closer to the end of his career, whereas Marner is most likely going to go on and be a great player. Like he is a great player,
no matter where.
So no matter where. But if we don't get anything for him, like how is today's younger generation fan, how are they going to view that? I don't think they're going to view it very positively. I don't know.
I have to say I've carried quite a bit of bitterness towards Pats for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Seeing him in Sweden though this past year, I have softened quite a bit.
Yeah. And we both have quite a bit.
So I have a different perspective a little bit on it now. But at the time, we were the age that these young kids are now. So you kind of see it a little bit differently, as an adult versus, when it's kind of your more childhood hero type thing. So,
yeah, I don't know. But it was great. All the comments that Lance made, for about Mitch and just some of the history too of the Leafs that he mentioned, there. And, just the thoughts on Brad Treliving and where he might be his direction of the team in that. It's great that we have Lance on as a guest, and
he's got like a unique perspective. I find that the way he views things and his knowledge base isn't exactly the same as everybody else. So he's got a unique take on things, and he's just very, very smart and I know he's not just knowledgeable, but I think he has like a little bit of empathy, and he just gets a sense of, where the players are at. He's got that unique ability to be kind of on the pulse of that.
And he has a little bit of wittiness about him too, sometimes, in his comments,
which
is always
fun to have on for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just a reminder that we are going to be talking Leafs all summer long. Our patio season is about a month away. So just hit that follow or subscribe button wherever you listen to our show and you won't miss an episode.
You can also watch the show on YouTube, where we have a ton of videos from games we've attended at Scotiabank Arena. We add video content throughout the season. So again, hit the subscribe button if you can, please, and you won't miss anything. At the same time, please consider leaving us a rating or a review. 5-star. We'll accept 4-star. Right. Any rating or review, we'd really appreciate it. It's easy on Apple or Spotify, and it's important for our show to get recognized as a source for Leafs content, and we thank you for taking the time.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there, and if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. You can find the link to our Ko-fi page on all our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And as always, we want to take time to thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
We thank you as always for listening and watching Ladies Talkin' Leafs, presented by Bet Online. Until next time, go Leafs, go.
Leafs, go.
Do you believe? For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.